And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the show. We've got plenty of highlights as promised, as predicted. There will have to be no investigation, which I promised there would be if Betty Manungo was not named the American Athletic Conference Women's Basketball Player of the Week. Indeed, she was. You will hear a fun, about 3-minute highlight reel of what she put down against East Carolina on Saturday in a 23-point, 21-rebound performance. You'll also hear some post-game comments from Jose Fernandez and Betty Manungo herself. In our second block, you'll hear what got Caleb Murphy of the men's team, of course, as the freshman of the week on the men's side of things. Really, it was just one half of work that did it, but man, what a half it was, and you'll hear some of those clips. Both teams are back at it on Wednesday. It'll be the men going first, this time in another doubleheader at the Yuengling Center. And remember, you can cash on this Wednesday morning. You get a free honey butter chicken biscuit at Wendy's the morning of a basketball doubleheader with USF. Just got to mention that in a Bay Area Wendy's, so plan accordingly. And speaking of planning accordingly, before we get into basketball, the net rankings are out, the new national rankings and where the women landed there. Also some big news when it comes to the men's basketball tournament. Now we know if Brian Gregory's team is in the tournament, where they will be headed right away, namely Indianapolis. But we got to talk about what's coming up. And I know I keep dropping lines like, oh, it's about to get really busy. In fact, that's basically the reason why we have pushed the time slot. The new time slot on Bulls Beat is now 9 to noon every morning on USF Bulls Unlimited, because there's going to be so much going on that putting together a show every day starting at 7 o'clock might be a little bit more difficult than it would be. The weekends especially are going to be crazy busy. I got a even better sense on Monday, as it was an all-staff meeting, and I'm not going to give away any secrets. Don't worry if you're listening, Michael Kelly. But Michael addressed us for a good hour, and by us, I mean everybody in athletics, the internal, the external, the teams, all the head coaches were there and got to speak a little bit, which was really enjoyable to witness. Ken Erickson's all fired up. And without saying dates or opponents, I can tell you that when I say it's about to get really busy, even sooner than I thought. We're talking about, and again, I won't say who, but a team is going to be ready to go in less than 2 weeks from today. Their first match is going to be less than 2 weeks from today. And in fact, several sports will start their seasons in January. And no spilling the beans here when I mention that volleyball is certainly going to be one of them, because if you go to UCF's website, and speaking of spilling the beans, I don't know if they were supposed to get this out so soon, but the Knights are the only team in the conference to put the schedule up on their website. And hey, I could see why they do that, because they're ready to go. And oh, by the way, it's going to be here soon. We're talking about in a couple of weekends. And what's interesting about this schedule is we can sort of formulate how it's going to be for USF, as well as how it's going to be for the conference this year. First of all, volleyball begins, as I say, in a couple of weekends. We're talking about January the 23rd. That is the first match on UCF's schedule, so you can go ahead and formulate a guess that first-year head coach Jolene Shepherdson of the Bulls team will be starting that same weekend. But what's also interesting about it, and again, we're talking about UCF's schedule here, it only has 16 matches on it, and that's probably how it's going to go this year. Some sports seasons are going to be shorter than they normally would be. Some might actually be longer, because if you think about it, sport like golf, sport like tennis, usually plays in the fall and in the spring. Now you're going to be able to combine those schedules, not completely adding them together for a real long season, but at least longer than the normal spring season would be. So back to UCF last year, the Knights made the NCAA tournament, knocked off FSU in a 5-setter in the first round before falling to the host Florida Gators. They were 24-7 in the regular season. So that's 31 matches that they played. They played a lot of these multi-team tournament type events, so did the Bulls, four of them leading into conference schedule. But if you look at UCF, and again, the reason I'm doing this is because the Knights are the only volleyball team in the American to put out their schedule, and it starts in a few weeks, so let's start to think about how it's going to go. No multi-team events. It's just matches against individual teams. And once you get into conference play, it's two matches, same place, one on a Friday, one on a Saturday. For the most part, there's a Thursday-Friday trip to Temple for UCF. And yes, the Bulls are set there on the UCF schedule for the last weekend of the regular season in Orlando, by the way. So the Bulls will not be hosting UCF in the War on I-4 because it looks like the American is going to go with this streamlined schedule this year, especially for travel purposes. You play the same team twice in the same city. We would hope the next year goes back to kind of a normal schedule. But compared to last season where you played every team in your division twice and then somebody on the other side once each, nope, not this time around. In fact, Tulane is the only West Division team on UCF's schedule. Last year was the first time the conference had a tournament, and it was six teams. This year, it's only going to be four, and that is going to be up in Cincinnati, and that's based on the fact that the Bearcats won the conference tournament last year. So there it is in, well, gold and black, that the conference tournament semifinals will be Friday, April the 2nd, and then the championship match Saturday, April the 3rd. So you're talking about a season that's going to begin with about a week to go in January and really last just barely more than 2 months for comparison's sake. Last fall, the season began late in August, and the conference tournament was essentially around Thanksgiving. So really a three-month schedule. Now it's condensed to barely more than 2 months. And again, I would guess that everyone else is going to announce their schedules this week. Remember, soccer was scheduled to start in early February, so if there's going to be any exhibition matches, those are going to be in January, I'm sure. You've got golf. I chatted with Steve Bradley and Erica Brennan. They're about to get going. I can tell you that the tennis season's first opponents for Christina Morris's women's squad, and of course Ashley Fisher on the men's side, are going to be blockbuster opening opponents. It is going to be some set of matches in the spring. Golf, tennis, just mentioned volleyball and soccer, and of course baseball and softball, as regularly scheduled in February, begin their seasons. So we are going to have everybody playing at once. The weekends are going to be insane. I just used the example of volleyball being a Friday-Saturday situation. I know that baseball, and this has been reported by other outlets, it looks like everything's going to be on the weekend, but a lot of activity. In other words, conference play will be a four-game series. Games Friday, doubleheader Saturday, and another one on Sunday. Softball always tries to schedule those multi-team events for the first month of the season. We could have, I don't know, the chance for as many as eight games and or matches across a weekend to be broadcast on our two channels. So yours truly will be busy. Jim Lauck will be busy. Can't announce it yet, but we have added another voice to our crew of play-by-play voices. So we'll definitely need some help when it comes to that, and we look forward to it. Of course, most pressing right now is basketball, which is getting set to get into that postseason vibe as far as looking at the national rankings. The net rankings, the first ones of the season, were released on Monday. Pretty positive on the women's side to see them ranked at number 18. Of course, when you beat a top team like Mississippi State and you take Baylor down to the very end, Baylor, by the way, third in the first net rankings. USF also jumps from 21 to number 18 in the new AP poll, which was definitely not a surprise considering some of the teams that were just ranked ahead of the Bulls falling last week. For example, DePaul, which dropped from 18 to 20. Also Northwestern, which fell from 15 to 22. There are actually no new teams in the poll. You also got to look at the point totals to see if the Bulls are having someone right behind them. Indiana, not too far back, also jumped up a spot. Boy, the Big Ten is having a very solid season. You look at the new AP Top 25, Stanford's number one. They destroyed Arizona, and credit to the voters for only dropping Arizona from 6th to 7th, because that's how great Stanford is. Louisville actually got a test from Northern Kentucky there at 2. NC State is 10-0 and ranked 3rd, deservingly so, because they were the team that took down South Carolina, which sits at 5th. UConn's actually tied for 3rd with NC State. There's Baylor at 6, and now Mississippi State, the team that the Bulls beat, actually lost a second game over the weekend, and I watched this one. It was dramatic on ESPN2. Kentucky took Mississippi State in Starkville in overtime, but Kentucky actually rose to number 10. I mentioned the Big Ten, nobody in the top 10, ironically enough, but then they start to populate with Maryland at 12, Michigan at 15, Ohio State at 16, Indiana 19, Northwestern 22, and Michigan State 23. So right now, the American Athletic Conference, it's all about the Bulls, but East Carolina certainly gave them a push. You'll hear Jose Fernandez prop up the Pirates, but now we specifically prop up Betty Manunga. And before we get to her highlight reel of what happened on Saturday, it really did begin last week in Tulsa because, you know, she was named the Conference Player of the Week, and you don't just take in one game to consideration. She had a rough one going against Tulsa. If you missed it, the Bulls went with a bigger lineup. They started Beatrice Jordal. They had Christina Bermejo at the three spot. The idea was to take the ball inside, and they certainly did that. Points in the paint favored the Bulls 30-8 in that game, but it was a tough first half for Manunga. You knew they wanted to get her going, but she picked up an early foul, and then she picked up her second foul with 32 seconds left in the first quarter, and that was it. That was her first half, and you could tell, obviously, she was ready to come out of the gate strong in the third quarter, so this really began what would be an incredible few days.
There's Manunga underneath from Pinzon. I'm waiting for her to get it going, specifically in this game. And finally off the bench with foul trouble makes it 26-15.
Good look by Pinzon. Nice backdoor by Betty Manunga. She does a nice job sliding behind that Tulsa defender.
There is a turnover. Was that a steal? The first one of the night. Lisa Pinzon gets the steal and the score, and it's 28-15. Pinzon, who's had the two big threes, has been the offensive key for the Bulls today. Looks for another one. That's long range, and she knocks it down. Elisa, indeed, with a Pinzanity. It's 31-17.
Good job by her using the double screen.
There's a long three by Maya Mayberry. She can hit those, and she does. Her first make of the day. And Tulsa has a little bit of jump in its step, 31-20. Elisa Pinzon looks like she wanted to answer right back, but thought a little bit longer of that one and got in for a shorter look. And Elisa Pinzon is rolling today, 5-for-8 from the floor, a little hop, skip, and a jumper.
Yeah. Nice little step through, one-handed off one foot kind of jumper.
Now she wants to drive in against Betty Manunga. That's ill advice, and Manunga gets the block. Defense really making it tough for Tulsa right now. Bulls up 13, largest lead. We hit the midway point of the third quarter. And another banked in three by Desiree Lewis. She has improved her range. They've spoken about that. She hit two threes in their last game against Temple. But my goodness, two banked in threes should be illegal. It's a 10-point game, and they're hanging around. Lozic wants to get it inside to Manunga. She does. She scores and is fouled. Great pass by Miha. Layup starting to fall, and it's looking better on the scoreboard as a result.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell, they were having issues with layups in the first half of that game, which was starting to become a little bit concerning because it was not nearly as much of a lopsided score as it should have been. Although the Bulls held Tulsa to 13, it was 24-13. But then they put up 19 points in that third quarter, held Tulsa to 19% shooting for the game. They have a couple of great players, the Mayberry sisters, new players for their team. But they were a combined 4-for-29 in that game. While Manunga only ended with 11 points and 7 rebounds, she had 9 of those 11 points in that third quarter that you just heard. And clearly could have had a double-double in that one because Jose Fernandez took her out with 8:05 to go in the contest. Played just 18 minutes, but again, 11 and 7. Incidentally, it's great to see Elena Chenecki get it going. She scored 10 points all in the fourth quarter, and that was the game where Elisa Pinzon led the Bulls with 13 points. And the final score ended up being 63-35. Then on to Saturday night. Again, we didn't have any highlights of this game on Monday's show because I was saving them for today. And certainly it was all about Betty Manunga. East Carolina came in 3-0 in the conference legitimately because not just LaShonda Monk, who was the number 3 steals leader in the country and also ECU's leading scorer, but they added two new players, Sierra DaCosta, a transfer from Hartford who averaged double figures for Kim McNeil when she was the Hawks coach, and of course McNeil got the ECU job. And then Maddie Moore, who was one of the many players across the country who just became eligible a few weeks ago when the NCAA granted that blanket waiver. She's a transfer from Charlotte who only averaged 2 points for the 49ers, but had scored 10 in her first two games with the Pirates and scored 9 in this one Saturday night. Also, the, of course, reigning member of the all-conference freshman team, Tania Thompson. So it was Monk, DaCosta, and Thompson all scoring between 12 and 13 points. And actually, no Bull had more than 11, besides one Bull who had herself a tremendous game. Here's the Betty Manunga highlight reel from Saturday's win against ECU.
Jose Fernandez saying, let's go, vamos, Los Toros. 9-7, floated into Manunga. That's got to go down. It does. Pinzon finding Betty Manunga, who is having her way inside, now has 6 points of the Bulls' 9, and we're tied at 9. Bravi in rhythm pulls up for a long two, and it rims out, but Manunga flies in for the rebound and scores. Betty Manunga. Now with 12 points and 6 boards, and the Bulls back up 3.
Betty Manunga's been a ton this game. Thank goodness for her. She is continuing to run the court. She's rebounding, crashing the boards, and going up strong, which is very important against ECU.
And she drains it. Tania Thompson, an all-freshman player last year, and now has 10 points, and ECU has a lead 37-34. Largest lead is 3 points, but they feel like they're much more confident than the team is up just three. Chinecki out to Pinzon. They said one more. That'd be a pass. Oh, great. Fake there by Betty Manunga around Moore. 37-36 Pirates.
And we should mention that's Betty Manunga's fourth double-double this year, 13th of her career at USF. So good work by her.
Bulls fly in for the rebound. That is Manunga. She wants to run. Down by one. Can she take it all the way? Two players on her, so she's dishes it off to Chinecki. Harvey, an open three. Finger looks good there as she drops it in. All led by Betty Manunga. Bulls back on top, 39-37.
Yeah, I will say Betty Manunga is breathing very heavily. I mean, she's been playing hard. She's played a lot of minutes in this game so far.
Now she's going to try and defend and does so well against Clater. Off shot, and the Pirates commit a foul on the rebound attempt. Catch and shoot off the inbounds. Missed by Lever, but pulled down the rebound by Betty Manunga. She is outstanding today. Betty Manunga now has 14 points and give her 8 boards.
Ah, Betty Manunga is so good down low, and she's so strong. She's done a great job at gathering herself, going up strong, putting it in the hoop.
Betty Manunga, have yourself a day. She is certainly doing that. Betty Manunga is just rolling, 20 points, 15 rebounds.
Oh, it's great to see Betty Manunga. She's such an electric player. She jumps off the floor so quickly and just creates a lot of havoc down low.
Oh, a nice feed inside to Manunga for a power dribble. Misses, but gets her own board. Puts it up, misses, gets another rebound, and is fouled. Betty Manunga wants to go ahead, and I think she just did, get her career high in rebounds with two of them. 18 rebounds is a career high, so she's only set her career high at USF for points and rebounds in the same game. She's on 21-18 right now. But anytime they miss, more clock runs here. Now Monk, ooh, a crossover. Give her a two, absolutely, and she misses it. And there's another rebound, so it's not going to be 20-20, thankfully. It's a 20-21. Manunga, 23 points and 21 rebounds. Unbelievable as we hit the minute mark, and the Pirates are not fouling. So this game is over.
Whew.
Betty Manunga, 23 points and 21 rebounds.
What a
absolute stellar. So with 48 seconds to go, this one is
decided. So we can cheer.
We're not supposed to do that, you know.
I know, but it's exciting.
I didn't say we weren't. I just said we're not supposed to.
Here she comes.
And there she is. Nice round of applause here for Betty Manunga. And that is as loud as 1,200 fans can get. Everyone's on their feet. Absolutely. She deserves that. Way to go, Betty Manunga.
15 rebounds in the second half alone. For the entire game, she had 6 offensive rebounds over 21. Also with the scoring, 9 of 12 at the free throw line, and that was absolutely critical in this game because you could just tell it was going to be a tight one. And the free throws really were what, I'm not going to say kept the Bulls in the game early, but really turned out to be a big factor in the contest because in the first quarter alone, for example, the Bulls hit 7 of 8 at the line, and they'd been struggling to around 66%. They did not struggle in this game, which turned out to give them plenty of opportunities at the line. 28-36. They had the height advantage. ECU was without its tallest player, Tiara Chambers. And obviously the Bulls knew that they could have an edge in there, led by Manunga. So first, from after the game, her head coach, Jose Fernandez, and then some really interesting stuff from Betty on maybe what led to her breakthrough. Not that she hadn't had any good performances in the past, but this was a national attention grabber performance against the Pirates.
Yeah, I thought she was outstanding. She had a special night. You know, I thought, she finished around the basket. She was 9 for 12 from the free throw line, but I just thought she just kept so many. She rebounded on both ends of the floor and just finished around the rim. She definitely started off the year in a great way, but this is the type of thing that Betty can do night in, night out. So I thought she was aggressive early. It gave her an opportunity to be active in the middle of the floor and get the ball to her in different spaces against their 1-2-2 three-quarter court and their 3-2 zone.
I'm really happy because this is just the fruit of my work, you know. I've been working pretty hard, and I'm really thankful to have the staff that I have because they've been putting a lot of pressure on me lately for me to be more offensive, you know. And yeah, it really helped me out. So like, I'm really happy. I wasn't really surprised because we're pretty close during practices. You know, this is something we really emphasize this year, like, you know, little check, little bump. And yeah, for sure, whenever you're having a good night and everybody is, you know, cheering for you. I am trying to change my mindset right now because before I was more of a defensive player, you know. But like right now, like I said, lately the coaches have been putting a lot of pressure on me, telling me. The thing I love about those coaching staff is like they truly believe in me. And this is what I need, I think, you know. Because I remember one day they were all over my case. Like they were screaming at me, yelling at me. Because sometimes I am more for my teammate before myself, you know, and they're really helping me through the process. So yes, I'm getting there.
Yeah, Betty, I'd say you're getting there. Interesting stuff, huh? Changing her mindset. As you could tell, coach is getting on her to be more of a scorer, and the mindset being, okay, I want to be the sort of motherly type and help everybody else on the team, but I'm going to get mine. And she got hers and was the easy choice for Conference Player of the Week as officially announced by the league on Monday afternoon. And incidentally, if you go to the USF Women's Basketball Twitter page, you can see a nice little highlight reel video-wise of what Betty had going on. You can see why I said Vamos Los Toros, because they were wearing the Los Toros uniforms, which I'm guessing is not going to be the last time based on what happened. Also, stuff that was going on Monday as they were helping with the food delivery for Feeding Tampa Bay. I know that they had a busy practice afternoon and went right to that, and everybody, of course, shows up. If you want to see photos of that, again, that's all on the USF Women's Basketball Twitter page. They're scheduled to be back on the court Wednesday night. We'd be on the air at 6:45 for a 7 o'clock tip-off against Wichita State. And we can tell you that the Houston game, which is a makeup game planned for this Saturday, now has a time for it, and that'll be 7 o'clock. So three doubleheaders in a row when it comes to the men and the women, because the men actually started off Yingling Center at 4 o'clock Wednesday playing Tulsa. That's going to be a tough game. Tulsa had an outstanding week, knocking off Houston last week and following it up with a win at Cincinnati. And then, of course, Saturday, not in the same place, but a doubleheader with the men going to Greenville to play East Carolina at 1, and again, the women playing Houston at night. Speaking of the men, a few of the highlights from a pretty special second half that landed Kayla Murphy as the Conference Freshman of the Week. Stay tuned.